Well, now here's Marcus de Sautoy with another of his five shapes. Today he explores the roundest form of all.
The sphere is one of the basic shapes in mathematics. It's a surface such that every point on that surface is exactly the same distance from one fixed central point. So it's as round as you can get.
A ball which wobbles really is a disaster. They call it an egg, and that wobbling in flight is really very difficult. And the players wouldn't want to continue with a ball which wasn't round, because it would just completely ruin the game. It would turn it into some sort of lottery.
The sphere's perfect symmetry is the key to its place in Ian Stewart's mathematical world and on the table tennis table of champion Alan Ransom. In this programme, we'll hear how architects and manufacturers have tried to achieve this mathematical ideal, from the Renaissance churches of Rome and Florence to the humble table tennis ball, from blowing bubbles to the Millennium Dome. But first, broadcaster Helen Viray joined me on a trip to the movies. It wasn't the film on the inside that we wanted to see, but rather a more impressive architectural show on the outside. The cinema at La Villette in Paris is a giant spherical building called La Giode.
It is an incredible sight when you see this huge sphere. It's almost like being in the presence of some alien spaceship. The perfect proportions. What do you think the sphere represents for people when they see it?
Oh, a kind of dream. It's the moon, it's the sun. There is something very peaceful, attractive. It's not aggressive. It has no corners.
I mean, for a mathematician as I am, a sphere for me is somehow that perfect shape. It's the perfect proportions. It looks the same from wherever you look at it. It's a very egalitarian shape.
Exactly, exactly. And for the public, it's something so amazing that it's a very, very popular place.
The Parisians like their sphere?
Oh, yes, they're very proud of it. And we think we are the only one to have one.
The French love affair with the sphere goes back to the Revolution. In 1784, architect Étienne Boulay drew up plans for a huge sphere to be built in Paris. For him, it was the perfect shape to celebrate égalité, since no viewpoint is favoured over any other. But for two centuries, creating the sphere remained a Parisian dream. Architectural writer Jonathan Glancy.
They're absolutely one of the rarest pure architectural forms, because it's a terribly hard thing to build. It's a very hard thing to know what to do with it, because if you have a pure sphere, you know, where would the entrance be? What would it stand on? Does it need to stand on a big plinth? Does it need to stand on top of stairs? And what's it in, a bowl?
It looks like an extraordinary balloon sitting on this water. And nothing destroys the sphere, because to get in, you have to go down below the water level where this sphere sits, and you enter underground so that nothing damages the beautiful quality of this sphere.
Yeah, it is beautiful the way it's sitting on the water. It looks like a ball floating around on top of the surface.
And to build a sphere like that, which is extraordinary, that it holds so beautifully well. It was created about 20 years ago, and look, it looks beautiful.
When Pope Benedict wanted to test Giotto for his artistic abilities, Giotto drew a circle, but freehand. I suppose for an architect, trying to build a sphere is the holy grail.
It's a holy grail, and it's the extraordinary challenge.
The sphere has been one of the most important architectural devices that's led to some of the most beautiful buildings in history. It took a long time to get there, but if you think back to the Renaissance and you look at the sudden emergence of domes. Domes arrive, they emerge because of the Counter-Reformation. And why the dome? Because the dome is half a sphere. And the Universal Catholic Church wants to represent itself architecturally. So it is a universal church, the sphere is a universe. And so the buildings themselves are representations of the universe and therefore the Universal Church. What a wonderful idea.
Ever since the music of the spheres of ancient Greece, the shape has been a model of the cosmos. The Catholic Church and French revolutionaries have also sought order and perfection in the sphere. But there is one protagonist more than any other for whom the sphere is the shape of choice. Nature. Mathematician Ian Stewart.
You blow a bubble, and if it's not sort of wobbling, if it's settled down to a fixed shape, it's a sphere. Raindrops, they're not the sort of teardrop shape that they're always drawn as. This is a cartoonist's device to make them look as if they're moving. If you actually photograph a raindrop, and if it's small enough that it hasn't been distorted by the pressure of the air as it moves through it, it's spherical.
So what are the special properties of the sphere which make it nature's favourite shape?
Nature is lazy. Nature likes to do things with the least amount of effort. And so a lot of natural shapes are energy minima. Now, the soap bubble is perhaps the easiest one to see that with. The energy of a soap film is essentially the same as its area. Now, the point about a soap bubble, which we all know when we blow one, you put some air inside. If there wasn't any air inside, it would collapse. But subject to containing a given volume of air, the sphere has the smallest surface area. Therefore, a spherical bubble has the smallest energy. And there's a similar story with raindrops. And again, it's the surface tension on the raindrop that is where the energy that matters occurs. And a spherical raindrop is the one, again, with minimum surface area enclosing a given volume of water.
Manufacturers have picked up a few tips about how nature makes spheres. Ball bearings are made by dropping molten metal from a height to form spherical drops, imitating the way raindrops form. The production of table tennis balls is rather more mundane. Two hemispheres of celluloid are glued together to make a ball. Table tennis champion Alan Ransom.
It's easy to make table tennis balls. The difficulty is in the testing process. Once the balls have been produced, then there are a series of tests, and one of those tests is a via test, where the ball is parachuted down his chute, and if it goes off to the side, then it's clearly not completely round and therefore not satisfactory.
So the physics of flight is used to distinguish between the balls which are truly spheres and those that have gone egg-shaped. Just as a cricketer or baseball player uses the imperfection of the ball caused by the seam to create a spin, manufacturers can screen out the imperfect table tennis balls by only collecting those that fly dead straight. A remarkably small percentage make it through the chute and onto the professional table tennis table. On a larger scale too, the laziness of nature's soap bubble has been an inspiration for designers. The efficiency of the sphere means building constructors can enclose more space with less material. Engineer Tanya Ross.
It's a good space because the minimum surface area means you use less materials in constructing it. You know, the idea is you have no internal columns, so you have a lovely space inside, unobstructed by columns. So from that point of view, it's a good space, and architects really like them. There's something very satisfying, I think, aesthetically about spheres. So they're good, but the difficulty is the constructability, if you like. This business about making it look like a perfect sphere and making it manageable in terms of size of pieces you're dealing with.
The architects of the Renaissance relied on cleverly piecing together four-sided blocks to make interlocking arches. The rigidity of the masonry meant that the domes wouldn't collapse. But squares are hopelessly weak if you want to use cheap, lightweight materials. Other shapes are much better at building spheres. A football, for example, is made by sewing together pentagons and hexagons. For buildings, though, it's the amazing strength of a triangle that enabled architects to create the domes of the modern age.
The great master of this was an American inventor and engineer called Buckminster Fuller, who devised his geodesic dome, which was a wonderful lightweight dome, built up of lots and lots of little components. They created a very, very light construction, and you could build vast domes, which were used for railway carriage storage, railway depots. They were used for sports stadia. There are many, many things you can use them for, conference centres, but you get a giant space, the lightest possible construction, and absolutely nothing inside it to get in the way of the space.
Curiously, though, one of the largest domes in the world is not a geodesic dome. The Millennium Dome in Greenwich is, in fact, a huge 3D suspension bridge, so large that the Eiffel Tower laid down on its side could fit beneath its canopy.
for me particularly, spheres say, aha, like the Millennium Dome. I spent 4 years of my life helping to build the Millennium Dome. And it's not actually a hemisphere, it's a hemispherical cap. So it's like taking the top off a boiled egg.
Right.
That's the shape of the dome.
So is it actually part of a sphere? I mean, an egg, of course, isn't actually a sphere. But, I mean, if I took a sphere and cut a bit off it, then this would it would have perfect somehow curvature like the sphere.
That was the design intent. Although I have to say that when we finally built it, it didn't go quite according to plan. So, for example, there were 72 pairs of radial cables that formed the major part of the cable net structure that formed the dome. And we were scratching our heads one day when we'd built it, and we were just making sure everything was where we thought it should be. And the senior engineer came to see us and said, you know, something's not quite right here, you know. I think actually one of the cables is too long. And we're thinking, oh, heck, is that going to be a big problem? And about a week later, he said, no, it's not one cable too long. It's 71 cables too short. So that was quite an exciting moment. So, in fact, the dome is not a perfect part of a sphere, because when it was built, it wasn't quite built entirely according to design, but it's pretty damn close.
The makers of the Millennium Dome got away with it. But if you're building a complete sphere, one mistake could be fatal. It was an extremely tense moment when the creator of Lagiode manoeuvred the last triangle into place, dressed in a futuristic spacesuit. But fortunately, the miracle of mathematics and engineering combined to ensure that this magical spherical mirror doesn't have an embarrassing hole in its surface.
Certainly from a distance, the perfection really stands out. But as we get closer, I can see exactly how the sphere has been made, all the triangles that have been used. So in some sense, from a distance, it's a very clever effect. From the distance, it looks perfectly spherical, but as I get closer, I can see that it's built out of these flat triangular shapes. Although, actually, they're not exactly flat, are they? They're bulging.
They're bulging,
that's
yeah.
Right. So.
And do you know how many they are? 6,430, my dear.
That impressive number of triangles. And each triangle, we've got six triangles joined together to make these hexagons as well. So there's also a lot of shapes going on inside
here. A lot
here.
Of shapes. So it's suddenly like if we saw the underwear of the sphere somehow.
And as we move closer, you can start to see the distortions of each little triangle.
Yes,
pressing
I
a mover.
Yes, let's move.
Yes, that's I've disappeared down a crack.
Yes.
And now I've reappeared, but I look huge.
You understand why the children love it. Love it. They love to come here because it's a kind of huge, monumental, big toy.
Buildings, bubbles and balls. There is something playful about the sphere. Mathematicians spin it through all its infinite symmetries. French revolutionaries and the Christian Church try to wrap up their ideals in it. For architects, building the perfect sphere remains one of the great challenges. But the House of Triangular Mirrors of Lagiode in Paris is perhaps the closest we've got to realizing this elusive dream.
The sphere was the third of five shapes presented by Marcus de Sautoy and produced by Anna Buckley. Next week, Marcus investigates the bagel or torus, a shape that's not only good enough to eat, but is one of the most important shapes in maths today.
Desert Island Discs returns soon to Radio 4, and preparing even now to cast away are the zoologist turned writer and painter Desmond Morris, who once tried to buy his own desert island. The mountaineer Joe Simpson, who faced death after being abandoned in the Andes and told his extraordinary story of survival in the BAFTA-winning film Touching the Void. And Virginia McKenna, who was an award-winning actress when she took the part of Joy Adamson in the film Born Free, and it was a role that was to change her life. That's a celebration of success, its origins, motives and effects, and eight pieces of music that reflect its course. A new season of Desert Island Discs with me, Sue Lawley, starting this Sunday at 11:15.
We're back this morning, and it's 9:45, and on 198 Long Wave now, it's time for the Daily Service, which is led this morning by Monsignor Tony Rogers. Now on Radio 4 FM.